Troy Ford to give us the words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, our New Testament readings of yesterday and today have exposed us once again to the letters that have been delivered unto the seven ecclesias in Revelation. And I'm sure and hope that we can all agree that the message in these seven letters applies to ecclesias of all ages, and certainly not to just the seven specific ecclesias that we find mentioned here in the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. So with that in mind, it's the message that's delivered to the ecclesia in Sardis that will be the main focus for my exhortation this morning. So if you turn back to the beginning of chapter 3 here in Revelation 3, or in verse 1, excuse me, of Revelation 3, we find these words in the latter half of the verse. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Another translation of this verse renders it as, you have the name of being alive, but you are dead. You know, it would appear by this verse that the Sardis Ecclesia indeed had a good reputation among the ecclesias, a name of life or of living. But in reality, they only had the outward appearance of spiritual health. You know, it must have been a most devastating message for the ecclesia in Sardis to receive. You know, they very may well have thought they were a healthy and vibrant light stand. What a shock the words of the Lord Jesus may have been to the majority of the believers there. You know, unlike what we find with most of the other six ecclesias that are written to in these chapters, the Lord Jesus does not speak to a specific error or wrongdoing found within the Sardis ecclesia. But I think hopefully we can see in the instructions delivered to them in the succeeding verses that can shed some light to the Lord's assessment of this ecclesia, and hopefully in turn may help to ensure that we ourselves don't find our ecclesia to be on the same path towards one of spiritual decay and death. Well, the first instruction that we find given from the Lord is in the second verse, and it's said to be watchful. The RSV translates or renders this word as awake, awake. And I think that helps to open up and expand the meaning and the use of this word here. You know, with this command of the Lord, I think it's safe to say that the ecclesia in Sardis had fallen into a state of spiritual slumber. They needed to be lifted out of this sleeping state, if you will, so they could see where they as an ecclesia had been slipping in their service to God. You know, I'm sure that at one time or another, we each have found ourselves similarly in a state of spiritual sleep, needing the Word of God to speak to us and to wake us out of that state. The Greek word that is translated as be watchful here is used in other places in the New Testament, and I think would be useful to just explore briefly. And I'd like with you, like for you to come with me, please, to first to Mark chapter 13. It was interesting that this was actually the daily reading of my of the last exhortation that I gave from the here in the Ecclesia. So an interesting coincidence, if you will, for me. But it's in the last few verses, and I'll begin in verse 34. Mark chapter 13. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Well, the message from our Lord here, I think, is very familiar with us, that we should all be spiritually awake and alert and watching for his return. That same word of Revelations 3, verse 2, is the word used all three times as watch here at back in Mark chapter 13. There's another passage that we can look at as well, and I think has a very good connection to the message that we've read to the Ecclesia in Sardis. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you turn with me there, please. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And it's there in that verse 6 we see that word again, watch. There is the same word we find in Revelation chapter 3. Yeah, the message for us here from the Apostle Paul is that we are to be the children of light and of day, not of the darkness of this world. So as in Mark, it was said in Mark 13, we are to be watching and spiritually awake, not in a state of slumber or sleep for our Lord to find us. So as we see the signs of our Lord's return around us, it should keep us sharp and attentive in our faith so that we are constantly aware and prepared for his appearing. If you turn back with me to Revelation chapter 3, the next instruction that is given to the Sardis Ecclesia, we find here in also in verse 2, that and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. It would appear from these words that there were some in the Sardis Ecclesia who had fallen away from their calling in Christ, and that there were some who were still there who were on the brink of following that same path of falling away. think if we truly reflect on these words, I think we can see similarities for us in our ecclesia as it was in Sardis. In our last semi-annual business meeting, we reported and discussed members of our ecclesia that had been long absent to our memorial service, to the table of the Lord. And there are others who we didn't discuss in the ecclesia who have had very sporadic attendance as well, and certainly could be seen as maybe heading onto that path. Our brother Cornelius had revealed to us that there was a great need for help in our pastoral care committee. An appeal for help that is at this point still gone unanswered. Yeah, there's also been declines in our attendance to the adult Sunday school, our midweek Bible class, the sisters class, participation and involvement in various ecclesial committees and other activities that we plan and perform here in the ecclesia. You know, before this trend becomes normal and continues and becomes the direction that we head, we need to reach out, and we need to offer our help to those in our ecclesia that we see heading in this path, whose attendance and participation have been deteriorating. That we too, as the Sardis ecclesia was instructed, that we can strengthen the things that are about or ready to die. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, commanded the Apostle Peter to feed his sheep. Peter would go on to instruct and write the same message to the ecclesias of his time. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I think the command that Peter delivers is also clear for us, that we need to be looking after the spiritual well-being of those in our ecclesia, and that we need to lead by example to all of those who are around us. You know, I don't want to be a total negative Nancy up here this morning. Sorry to anybody named Nancy. Even though we as an ecclesia do have some room for improvement, and I think we can all agree on that as individuals and ecclesially, I am encouraged by some of the more positive things, directions our ecclesia has been heading. This is the part for the Sunday school teachers this morning. It's going to be slightly humorous. But this year's attendance to the children's Sunday school, barring today, has been a vast improvement to previous years as serving as the Sunday school superintendent. For all of our children who are old enough to be in a classroom, there has been a wonderful consistency this year. I find myself checking off here quite a bit more than anything else. And my thanks goes out to all the parents that obviously helped to make that happen. And I certainly hope that pattern will continue and further improve as the year goes on. And another bright spot, if I may, I've seen is the start of our junior CYC. A wonderful way to develop our young ones in the admonition of the Lord and to give them an appreciation for ecclesial life, to help them build strong bonds and friendship that will hopefully be lifelong. And I think as well, it'll be hopefully a renewed approach to our Learn to Read the Bible Effectively seminars that our preaching committee is planning for this coming January, and Lord willing, will bear the same or similar successes that the Baltimore Ecclesia has been experiencing with it currently. So hopefully, you know, seeing these types of things, hopefully those can be the things that will bolster and help us to focus on maybe repairing and rebuilding on those in those areas of the Ecclesia that have been in decay or in decline. Well, turn back with me again to Revelation chapter 3, and we'll, for the sake of time, move on. We find the next instruction given in verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. The Lord Jesus was instructing those in Sardis to regain the zeal that they once had to that gospel message and to return to it, to find that zeal again and return to it. You know, I'm sure that for each of us we have found ourselves in that same need at times. The need to recall those things that were the driving force behind our answer to the Lord's calling. You know, not only are we to remember God's word and its great hope for us, but we're also commanded, as it says here, to hold fast. You know, and to hold fast. In doing so, our zeal for upholding our Lord's teachings won't diminish, but they'll increase and to help us serve Him more perfectly. You know, the scriptures tell us that holding fast to the commands and teachings of our Lord will bring us into a special relationship with our Heavenly Father. Come with me, if you would, to First John, the first epistle of John, chapter 5. And beginning in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, the word that we see as keep here in verses 2 and 3 of this epistle, it's the same word that's translated hold fast in Revelation 3, verse 3. And we're told here in 1 John that if we keep or hold fast the commandments of God, that we then show our love for God and his Son. And the love of the Father is then upon us if we continue to demonstrate our keeping of those commands. And we can see this again if we turn over to John's Gospel, John chapter 14. I think are familiar words again to us. John 14, beginning in verse 21. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if we keep or hold fast to the commandments of God and Christ, we then have the hope of experiencing the love of the Father and the Son in the kingdom age to come. Well, turn back with me again to Revelation chapter 3, where I think we find the last of the end of that verse, the end of that portion of that in verse 3, to repent. The command is also given for the Sardis Ecclesia to repent. And this is the Greek word metanoia. And its meaning signifies to change one's mind and purpose. You know, to truly repent, God also requires action of the believer to change one's course or direction or path, not just to express the feeling of regret and sorrow for wrongdoing when we fail. Now, this command exists for us today as it did for Sardis. We need to be examining our service to God and our walk in the truth to be prepared to make the necessary course corrections, if you will, that are needful to remain on that straight and narrow path that leads to the kingdom. Well, in the last half of that verse of verse 3, we read, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And we've seen this expression already from our Lord in our previous look at the chapter in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I think it's noteworthy to mention here that there certainly is a great purpose and intention for why the Lord Jesus refers to his return here as a thief in the night, even though it's not, it's certainly a way he's described that in elsewhere, but why specifically to the Sardis Ecclesia? Well, there's a history, I think, that I found in my look at the city of Sardis. A history, I think, that the members of that ecclesia certainly would know well. And I think that does capture the importance of what the Lord's words, warning words here are. Sardis was at one time a great and wealthy city. In fact, believed to be at its peak, one of the wealthiest cities on earth. The city had a fortress or an acropolis that was built on a high hill some 800 feet above the plains surrounding it. The steepness of its cliffs were nearly perpendicular to the ground. It had wonderful natural defenses on three sides of these cliffs, and it was seen by its rulers because of these great natural defenses as impregnable. A prideful and arrogant mistake this would be during the time period of the Persian king Cyrus. The king of Sardis had been at war with the Persian army, and following a defeat in battle, retreated to this citadel on the hill with Cyrus in pursuit. The king of Sardis felt so secure in his fortress and its natural defenses that he focused all his attention to secure the one and only way that he believed up to this high hill. Cyrus was determined to overtake this fortress, and his careful study of the terrain surrounding the citadel, he found a chasm or a fault that were in the cliffs that would be able to gain them an undefended way to the top of this hill. So, on one evening, the troops of Cyrus gained access through this chasm to capture and overthrow in the middle of the night its sleeping defenders. Hopefully this warning is easily seen. Had the rulers of Sardis paid better attention to the weaknesses in their defenses, they might not have been overthrown and overtaken. The ecclesia in Sardis had not been attentive to their spiritual weaknesses and were dangerously close to being spiritually dead. Their need for correction was evident, and the lesson has been recorded for us as well. If we're negligent to see and to repair the weaknesses in our walk, in our faith, and fail to allow God's word of correction to be our guide in life, then will our Lord's return find us unaware, unprepared, and sleeping. Well, this brings us now to the verses 4 and 5 of Revelation chapter 3, and I'd like to read those just briefly again. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And there's great comfort for us and for Sardis in these words from our Lord Jesus. There were in Sardis members who had been upholding the commands of the Lord, and they are commended highly for their faithfulness. That they shall walk with him in white, for they are worthy. They were the example for the rest of the ecclesia to follow after and to learn from. And I think we too are blessed with many examples in our own ecclesia. Brothers and sisters who have for many years shown faithfulness to God and their walk in the truth. And we of the younger generations also have the opportunity to grow and be examples to our children and those around us by following the lead of our elders to hold fast the teachings of our Master. And this task bears the wonderful hope that we've read here in verse 5, that we too may be included with all the faithful men and women of old in ages gone by in that book of life. To achieve this goal, we need to remain spiritually awake and watching for our Lord's promised return. We need to strengthen one another in our weaknesses. We need to hold fast to the commands of our Lord. And we need to make the necessary corrections in our walk so that we are following the straight and narrow path towards the coming kingdom of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, there is no better example for us than the one that we come to remember this morning, our Lord and Savior. His life was one of complete obedience to the will of his Father in heaven. We're commanded to meet here each first day of the week around this memorial table to reflect on his sacrifice, his teaching. We are also called to self-examination in the partaking of these emblems. Let us embrace the instruction he gives us and seek to improve our service to him in areas that we fail. The Lord Jesus does not wish to come upon us as a thief in the night. He desires to see us well prepared for his coming, that we may all be joined with him in the future age to come. With that, I'd like to conclude with just the uplifting words of instruction of the Apostle Paul that he spoke to the Corinthian ecclesia. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.